You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hi, this is Greg Kilstrom. Welcome to Season 3 of The Agile World, where we discuss customer and employee experience, organizational and workforce transformation, and how business can adapt and continually improve in an agile age. The Agile World podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to techsystems.com. To read more about the topics discussed in this show, you can go to my website at theagile.world, and read my latest articles, or get a copy of my latest book, The Agile Workforce, now available on Amazon and other retailers. My name is Greg Kilstrom, and I'm the host of the Agile World podcast. I'm excited to introduce the final part of a special three-part series about the importance of taking the right platform-based cloud approach so businesses can enable MLOps and realize the true value of AI and machine learning. This series is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome the Executive Director of Transformation, DevOps, and Cloud Services at Tech Systems, Brandon Carroll. Brandon, welcome to the show. And first, why don't you tell me a little bit about your background and what you do at Tech Systems?
You bet, Greg. Certainly appreciate you having us on and hosting this. So been with Tech Systems in different delivery leadership roles for a little over 9 years now. Very excited of kind of where we've come in at least my time here, really focused on advanced next-gen full-stack services for a lot of the Fortune 1000 customers out there. So never been more excited to be a part of the Tech Systems team and looking forward to this discussion.
Wonderful. Well, yeah, no, looking forward to talking with you as well. So let's get started. Cloud computing has been leveraged by IT for decades, but it seems more recently the term cloud is everywhere, really becoming more mainstream. A recent estimate from the research firm Gartner reported cloud services spending will hit $332 billion by the end of 2021. What are your thoughts on the cloud's impact and how it's evolved?
Sure. So, I'm not taking into account old mainframe, dumb terminal type scenarios, which effectively were the beginnings of cloud many, many years ago. Really, we've seen exponential evolution since, the public cloud phenomenon started back in the mid-2000s with AWS launching EC2 and S3. I think that rapid evolution has really mirrored access to high-speed networking and connectivity that's become available at scale to large global enterprises. As organizations have been able to provide real-time access to applications underlying data to its employees and customers from anywhere at any time, leveraging the cloud really became less of a luxury, more of a necessity to provide customers access anywhere at any time. So I think also, as that evolution continues, there have been a ton of lessons learned along the way. So like many early adopters of public cloud, at least, we're focused on cost savings as a primary driver. And I'd say those results were mixed at best. The organizations that really focused at the outset on SaaS or software as a service solutions that replaced traditional on-prem services like CRM, content management, business apps, et cetera, I think they really did see, lower total cost of ownership, increased ROI, and really maximize some of the benefits therein. I think, conversely, organizations that went all in on cloud first, that we've all heard that term, right, directives, in many cases really saw the opposite. I think a lot of organizations found that, very simply, that they moved a lot of technical debt, outdated business processes, bad code to infrastructure that was just outside of their four walls, not really solving anything. So I think today, as that evolution continues in mass, many IT organizations are looking at cloud in a very different light. Honestly, I cringe anytime I hear IT leaders use cloud first, or we're going all in on the cloud at this point in time. I mean, there's tons of data out there that organizations that are having the most success in the cloud are highly selective on which applications and associated data provide the highest ROI, and are certainly taking steps to not just move things, but to optimize everything prior to migrating anything to the cloud. Here at Tech, we call that a cloud smart or cloud appropriate model, and continue to lead our customers down that path. I'd say the days of traditional IaaS or infrastructure as a service models are going away, and they're being replaced by leveraging advanced cloud technologies to deliver deployment and delivery platforms for next-gen services. Those services that ultimately drive business value, not just IT cost savings.
Well, yeah, and you touched on this a little bit just now, but when organizations are thinking cloud strategy, what's your recommendation to them? I mean, not to your point, going all in on cloud and things like that, but where do they kind of get started with a cloud strategy?
Not to be oversimplistic, but I'll continue to reference the term cloud appropriate. Sounds simple, but in reality, it's not. At the end of the day, not all applications and data services are meant for cloud consumption. They're perfectly fine living where they live today. Likewise, no single cloud provider, despite what they'll all tell you, have the best services for all types of business applications or to drive certain business outcomes. So from a strategy standpoint, we're advising our clients to really prioritize due diligence in rationalizing their application portfolio and really focusing on automation, security, and optimization prior to migrating applications or underlying data to any cloud provider. We're also advising that a hybrid and or multi-cloud strategy is the most effective way to lower costs, meet stringent security standards, and deliver upon business value that are generating positive outcomes for the business itself. I would say one other thing that is just way too often overlooked as part of the overall cloud strategy is the underlying network and the accessibility and availability component of applications and data. Basically all large organizations that are today employing more of a traditional multi-data center model are not well equipped to migrate a significant number of workloads quickly to the cloud at scale. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I'd say most mission critical and consumer-facing applications require frequent data access and or lookups. So one of the most significant costs of living in the cloud are data ingress and egress charges. So if your cloud strategy is not highly focused on enabling basically near real-time access for core applications, you're likely going to have significant cost overruns and or poor user experience. And that all kind of relates back to your overall network and hybrid cloud design. So our cloud smart organizations have quickly realized this and are moving to, or actually back to, a distributed core edge network to enable direct cloud connectivity to internal data sources and or external or internal applications. So I think in 2021 and beyond, successful organizations are putting data at the center of everything they do around IT decisions and strategy. I think if you're not looking at it holistically, including the underlying network component, you're not going to get the maximum benefit that a lot of the companies that we're working with are seeing today.
Yeah. So talking a little bit more about cloud here. So, I often see platform and cloud, the terms used interchangeably. There isn't even a difference, but can you talk to me about platforms versus the type of cloud? What's more important, the type of cloud or the platform? how do you look at these terms and how do you help clients navigate the right decisions there?
Focus on the platform, always the platform. You know, as I mentioned, I think earlier a bit, savvy organizations have realized that public cloud should be an enabler to drive business value. It's not just a scalable OpEx infrastructure model for operations any longer. So internal and external consumers of cloud-based applications really just want the following. They want real-time access to data. They want customized solutions. And they want a pleasing, you know, easy to navigate customer experience. And we're seeing more and more with things like digital transformation that customer experience it means everything, right? Driving CSAT, driving new revenue channels, et cetera. So the tech systems, you know, in our case, we advise our clients that next-gen cloud solutions should be focused on repeatability, automation or high levels of automation and optimization for that reason. Again, driving real-time access and solid customer experience. And you know, at the end of the day, customers of business services, they don't care where those services are hosted. They really just want that seamless access. So if you focus on building scalable platforms to deliver those types of services and ultimately business value, the provider is honestly irrelevant outside of any, you know, cost consideration. Some are cheaper than others, depending on what type of services you want to enable. I just, as an example, take containerization as a service, which we're seeing a lot of today when we're talking about building scalable platforms for deployment and delivery of business services. Services, you know, like AI or MLOps, which I think we're going to touch on here in a bit, but for containerization, those business applications really doesn't matter. Kubernetes is Kubernetes. I don't care if it's Azure AKS, AWS EKS, or on-prem. Kubernetes, at the end of the day, it's just a means to deliver those services. So if you're focused on just the provider element and not the platform itself, you're going to miss a lot of opportunities for optimization. Same with things like CI/CD tool chains, deployment chains, release trains, et cetera. Always, you know, take that core focus on the platform as just the enabler to driving next gen business solutions, and you'll be fine.
What about the hybrid cloud? What role does hybrid cloud play in the types of platforms organizations utilize?
So I think once again, keep the focus on the data. What consumers are accessing that data, where they're accessing that data, frequency of access, and how that data is being leveraged or accessed. Back to, you know, that traditional corporate data center model, you know, data lives in the data center, right? Meaning application calls have to flow back and forth from end users constantly. And you create a lot of element traffic. You create, you know, issues at times with latency, resiliency, or accuracy of the data because of that constant call. So in more of a distributed hybrid cloud model, which we're moving a lot of our customers to today, your data model has to be front and center in your strategy and plan. So what data is going to continue to live in the core? What data could or should live in, you know, the public cloud provider where you may have moved some of your external applications for, again, real-time access or closer proximity, meaning reduced latency to your end user base? What can live on the edge, right? Same thing. Could we move things from the core to the edge and not necessarily into the public cloud provider to also enable lower latency, more resiliency, and better customer experience? I think same type of scenario in the hybrid cloud model for security, right? In a hybrid model, it may make sense to move some of the security stack to the edge so that you're not having to call back to the core to ensure that you're providing secure access to your internal or external end user community. And then finally, you know, I think in a hybrid cloud model, it prevents things like vendor lock, right? And allows for some level of portability of applications, data, et cetera, especially if you've got a containerization strategy, so that you could potentially move as providers roll out new services and or change cost models.
Let's switch gears a little bit here to MLOps. And so organizations have struggled to scale machine learning and AI initiatives in the past, but it seems that organizations are on the cusp of generating real value from those technologies. Machine learning operations, or MLOps, seems to provide a solution that can be a differentiator there. Can you speak a little bit about how you see MLOps making an impact?
Well, I think in today's world, almost all large enterprises are realizing what, you know, your traditional technology, social media, e-commerce companies have known for a long time. An organization's data is one of the largest corporate assets that you own. So predictive analytics to drive new revenue streams, open up new markets, et cetera. They also help to mitigate risk. So insurance companies have been modeling data for a very long time, right, to establish risk parameters and minimize claims. We do a lot of work in the insurance space, so risk mitigation is certainly top of mind. And that predictive analytics has been going on in those types of organizations, large insurance, for a very long time. So as we all know, right, online advertising has never been more targeted and or personalized as it is today. Sometimes that's good and sometimes it's really annoying, but it is what it is. And that's all due to machine learning, AI, MLOps type programs or services being deployed in those organizations. And so I think today your more traditional brick and mortar companies, manufacturing, oil and gas, et cetera, are getting into the game. And I think another relatively recent phenomenon is how much data is being collected and subsequently analyzed and modeled. So in this, you know, 5G world, data is coming from everywhere, not just from traditional transactional systems, right? Where you're supplying data for some level of transactional task, and that data is being stored in databases, right? So, you know, now we've got homes, businesses, automobiles, machines, sensors and IoT devices are monitoring, tracking, sending back data to all types of organizations. And so those organizations that can successfully harness that information and use it to predict behavior certainly, in our opinion, gain a differentiating competitive advantage. So I think you're going to see a lot more of it, not less.
What about the struggles as they attempt to adopt MLOps? Like, what are you seeing and what should organizations anticipate as they do adopt MLOps?
A couple of things. I think first and foremost, as we just discussed, with the amount of data, it's the sheer magnitude of it. To that earlier point, organizations are collecting just more data and information than ever before. It's also less static than ever, with real-time data now flowing virtually nonstop into the organization. So I think gone are the days of data scientists sitting in an office somewhere running models on defined data sets. Models and corresponding algorithms must constantly change, learn, and adapt to truly be successful. And that's not an easy proposition, right? I think another, like any other large organizational initiative, culture can be an inhibitor. Same thing we saw with the DevOps transformation, agile transformation, going back even further than DevOps, right? If business and IT are not really, really tightly aligned, a lot of MLOps projects simply won't provide the benefits that outweigh the cost of running them. MLOps should never be viewed as just an IT thing. It's a business value driver. So clear expectations on what the desired outcomes need to be will really help to create the operational value streams necessary for complete alignment across, you know, all impacted internal and external parties. And if you can't get there, these large transformational initiatives likely aren't going to go very well. So our recommendation would be, in that case, you know, potentially start small and scale. Continuous marketing and evangelism is a big part of this, right? Showing the value out of the gate as quickly as possible, and then, you know, growing the program from there.
Yeah. One last question before we wrap up here. Do you have some use cases or examples of, you know, how organizations are leveraging MLOps successfully?
We do. We would run out of time if I went through
that. maybe just one then.
You got it. So we've just seen a tremendous uptick in all kind of data-driven opportunities across almost all of our verticals today. Oil and gas sector, we're helping a very large multinational customer build an ML platform supporting IoT data coming in from the field. And that's helping them better manage natural gas well flow. It's driving efficiencies, lowering costs to get that gas to the grid, ultimately. Just wrapped up a very cool first phase of a program for one of our global airline customers to create what is being deemed as the baggage platform of the future. And what that's enabling is better predictive analytics on bag routing and also providing real-time information to folks on the tarmac so they can make real-time decisions to customer service agents. And ultimately, it's providing real-time information to consumers themselves so they know where the heck their bag is at any given time, right? And then one other one that I just think is very cool, and it's near and dear to my heart. It's headquartered in my hometown, but a large heavy equipment mining operation that we've done a multi-year ML AI initiative to, again, bring IoT data in from heavy equipment that could be scattered across the globe. With that data, we're doing predictive failures, right? So we know that an engine or a heavy machine is at a fail point prior to it actually failing, right? And that's really, it's just been a really cool program as it's brought all of the organization itself, the corporate, their global supply chain partners and dealers in the field. It's opened up a wealth of new revenue streams for extended warranties, things like that. And it's really just been a highly successful program. And I, you know, again, I could go kind of on and on here, but, you know, I think suffice it to say that MLOps associated AI type initiatives and programs are happening every day across every major industry. And I certainly don't see that changing anytime soon.
That's great. It's great to hear. There's so many success stories there too. Well, Brandon, thanks so much for joining the show. For those listening, what's the best way to keep up with what you and Tech Systems are doing in this space?
You can always visit us at techsystems.com. Certainly follow us on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and we're constantly posting new articles, new information, et cetera, out there. So certainly encourage everybody to do all three of those things.
Wonderful. Well, again, I'd like to thank Brandon Carroll from Tech Systems for joining the show. Learn more about Tech Systems and their perspective at techsystems.com. I'm Greg Kilstrom. Thanks for listening to The Agile World. See you next week.
Thanks again for listening to the Agile World podcast brought to you by Tech Systems. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe on your podcast channel of choice and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can learn more and get a copy of my latest book, The Agile Workforce, from my website at theagile.world.